You're tuning into the Active Mom Podcast with physical therapist, Dr. Carrie Pagliano, a real mom's guide to all things postpartum return to workouts after baby. If you're a postpartum mom, coach, trainer, or physical therapist looking for answers on how to get back to running, CrossFit, yoga, Pilates, HIIT, you name it, without the fear of pelvic floor issues or doing something wrong, this is the podcast for you. Let's start the show. All right. I am super happy to invite back to the podcast Lisa Marie Ryan. I have to say her name in just like one word because that's who she is to me. Second time on the podcast, but she's back to talk about tummy tuck programs, all that stuff, share a little bit more of her story herself. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about kind of diastasis and again, how people get to tummy tucks and some fun conversations that she and I have been having and really just an excuse for us to hang out and chat. So Lisa, thanks for being on the Active Mom Postpartum podcast again. Welcome back.
Yeah, always happy to be here.
All right. Give us the 30-second version. If people have been living under a rock and don't know who you are, where you are in the world and what you do, give us a 30-second download.
Yes. Okay. This is always a challenge because I like to talk. So I live in Michigan. I had a brief stint in California for about 5 years, but I'm from Michigan, back in Michigan. Used to be a high school English teacher. After having my second son, I switched over to being a pregnancy and postpartum athleticism coach. Started running my mom classes. Things have evolved since then. Still see a lot of clients one-to-one now. And then found my way into creating tummy tuck rehab with Munera. And here we are. That was quick. And I used to be a competitive CrossFitter back before my sons. I was a regional CrossFit athlete.
And continues to be quite badass, by the way, with her 5 minutes of fun, that would probably just be like my 5 minutes of hell. Okay. Let's have a quick little discussion. Munera was just on talking about diastasis. You guys worked together on some programming with that as well. And now you're shifting more to kind of the rehab, the exercise piece of it, which is your bread and butter. But let's talk a little bit about this because historically you had a remarkable diastasis. But you continued to train through it, eventually had your own surgery, but I think you're probably more just better. That's sorry, English teacher. I'm super conscious about what I'm trying to say. You're well-versed. You're well-versed in not only working with women with diastasis, but understanding it because you navigated a pretty significant one. So talk to me a little bit about like what you kind of understood about diastasis as you were first navigating this as a new mom, and then kind of how you understand it now, because there's been quite a shift, as we were talking earlier offline, about what we knew then and how we treated it versus how we treat it now.
Yeah, this I was actually reflecting on this when I wrote some posts not too long ago. I think when I hit my 10K on my Instagram and I did a little post and I wrote 10K on my belly and the whole thing. But anyway, it's crazy because, you know, at first I thought that it was just extra weight and that's why my stomach was sticking out. And I gained a lot of extra weight with my first pregnancy. So I was like, oh, this makes sense. Well, I'll slowly lose the weight over the year and this will go away, you know? And then it didn't because I lost the weight and it was there. And I was like, what the heck? Oh, I just need to work out more. I remember talking to my husband and he's like, well, you know, you haven't upped your intensity yet, which makes sense. Once you do that, maybe it'll go away. Did that, didn't go away. So I really had no clue what was going on with my own body, not a clue. And I remember someone had told me to check for diastasis and I did, but I didn't know how to check. And I was like, well, I don't feel any holes. You know, I was just laying down, feeling my stomach. And then finally, somehow someone had clued me into it. And then I did the actual check alone on the floor and my whole hand just went into my stomach and I just lost my mind. Like I was like, oh my God. And then I thought about, well, I've been doing all this stuff at CrossFit and I've been lifting heavy and I've been doing these things. Like I've been doing stuff. felt okay. And I was just, you know, so then I started to go try to find answers. And so I went to go see some different people. You know, some people said I had to stop doing CrossFit. Some people said I couldn't have another baby. I mean, so many crazy things were told to me.
Well, and to clarify, your kids are how old now?
So my oldest is 9 and my youngest is 7.
So when you're thinking about this and you're like, why would people tell you that? Because this was 7 and 9 years ago and this is what we were being told. So just to set the scene here, you have a woman that, like, you were games ready athlete. You have a couple kids, you figure this out and people are like, oh, you shouldn't be doing CrossFit, yet you've been doing it this whole time. And what are they telling you to do instead?
Yeah. So, you know, they want me to do these like little gentle rehabby exercises, right? Mm-hmm. And I did them because I was like, oh, I better stop. And I better stop with the barbell and take this light kettlebell and do this and do that. And then I stopped and I was like doing some like different programs. I mean, I was trying everything. Mm-hmm. Nothing was, it didn't do anything, right? It didn't do anything. And oh God, just thinking back to that time makes me sick to my stomach. Because it was just so bad.
We're gonna pause here for a second because we've been in conversation. I was sharing this with Lisa that somebody had reached out to me on the podcast who's part of those older programs that involved a lot of small rehab exercises, abdominal binding for like 18 weeks, like an insane amount of time. Like that was standard in the 90s, the early 2000s. Like my kids are 10 and 13. That kind of stuff was what we had. And it was such an odd juxtaposition, I think, especially for somebody like you, where you're like, okay, I function at this really high level, and this is what you want me to do. And then I go and do it, and it doesn't do a freaking thing.
Yeah.
So then what?
Yeah. That was crazy. And what was crazy is at that time, So at that time I had reached out to Brianna Battles because I had a mutual friend's sister who lived in California say, hey, you should reach out to this person. She's kind of going through a similar thing. So I texted a complete stranger.
Yep.
He's running around California trying to find answers. Right. And so we're just comparing things, comparing all the stupid stuff we're trying, but we didn't know. Right.
Right.
This and this, which is crazy to think about now. Crazy to think about. And then I ended up finding a PT here who helped me as much as she could. Like, it wasn't like completely old school, but it wasn't super like progressive. Like, she just did her best, but she was pro me getting back to CrossFit. Nice. So that was like, at least, you know, there was something she did help me a little bit because I never, I mean, there is something to rehab, right? Because I never like did the gentle exercises in the beginning to reconnect and figure out what was going on with my body. I kind of missed that. And like my rectus was way over to the side and very strong.
Right. Just for a reference point, like when you assessed it in a active position, which is how you should assess it, not at rest, by the way, but in an active head up, shoulders, you know, everything up, because we need to use our muscles in a functional way. Right. How many fingers are we popping in there?
Yeah. So across? After my first son, I mean, I was probably, you know, around 9-ish.
Okay. Right. And then after the second?
And then after the second, I mean, I don't know, because I had a lot more knowledge by then. So I'm trying to think the first time I tested. I mean, it was very deep, right?
But well, and that's the thing too. We shifted from looking at width to looking at depth and that kind of stuff too.
And I purposely didn't test it right away because I didn't want it. I knew it was far. I knew it was bad again the second time, if not worse. But I also had more knowledge by then. So she helped me at least like get some things coming back, you know, like whatever. And then I went back to CrossFit, right?
Yep.
I just went back. She's like, okay, you know what? They're coming together when you're active. It's the best we can do. And then I just did CrossFit and I did very well up until I had my second son. Now, there were some things I felt like core-wise I never could do very well at that point. So I didn't totally figure it out. But again, I was doing most everything at the gym and pretty satisfied.
Yeah.
Knowing I'm going to have was going to have another kid and then I'm going to have to really figure this out. Right. But I felt good. And then when I had my second son, that's when Brianna started finding out some more stuff. And then she kind of worked with me a little bit. And so I had some more tools for my pregnancy so I could kind of adjust some things. But like, I knew my diastasis, I mean, it was what it was, right? I wasn't going to save anything. You know what I mean? I just was trying to like be more intentional and, you know, I felt like I could do that. But so then after, and I knew at that point that like a tummy tuck surgery might be in the cards for me, but I tried not to think about it until, you know, I went through
the
process. And then I found a really good PT when I was recovering with my second son around.
You can give her a shout out.
So that's Nancy Boyd.
Yes.
The best. And I refer a lot of my clients to her. She's phenomenal. And she worked with me. It makes me want to cry. But like, she was just like, we would look at the CrossFit things, we'd progress, we would, you know, look at my stomach, we would do all the stuff, right? And just made all the difference in the world. Then within that time, I met with Anthony, we did a consult, Nancy came with me, we had the video set up at the gym, like we did the whole thing. Yeah. And you know, Nancy was open to things, you know, because we're dealing with this large, huge diastasis with someone that wants to be, I do one competition a year maybe, but like, I don't really, my goal isn't to compete anymore, but I want to be a high level CrossFitter. Just
stop being humble. You can do muscle ups. You can do all sorts of things like that. Like, you're kind of badass. You want to be able to do those things. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to be able to do the things. That's all. Yes. That's all I want to do at this point.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, Nancy came, she came with an open mind. You know, you talk about ego and being these practitioners, right? Like, I just, you know, she came and we all challenged what we were like. It was an interesting time and it was fun and it was great. And so then Anthony gave us some homework. So we started adding in some more things, which like the bad stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Doing pull-ups and toes to bar and all this stuff. And I actually got better. Like that fascia that was non-responsive didn't get better. But like, if you felt like the fascia above that was, that actually got better once I started going back to the things that I hadn't been done. Now that had been 18 months. So I had been like doing a lot of strengthening, a lot of rehab, a lot of stuff. Nancy kept progressing me. It was the perfect time to just set me free and like get all that in. And then Nancy would keep testing me and she's like, wow, this is better. And it was like this whole test case that was an amazing thing for us to go through together. And then I just kind of focused on doing as much as I could with my core up until I knew I was going to get that surgery and see how strong I could get. And well, that's the story.
I think that's the thing that's just, you know, to try and put all this stuff in perspective. So this was probably 2016, 17, 18.
Okay. Yep.
Cause that's when I think we started to connect or something along those lines. And I was trying to navigate it too. And again, when conventional wisdom is do these tiny things and you do them and you still don't feel right. It still feels waterbed-ish. And I think that's one of those things that for those of us trying to still navigate, like kind of coming to terms with our abs, when remember for 6 weeks, you're not doing a damn thing.
Right.
You know, or you had a C-section and you're like, don't touch that. Like, don't do that. Everything's got to heal. Like, but then to turn around and do these high level things and you're better.
Yeah.
You're better. And I think that's people like you were, I think, the impetus for us to be like, okay, then we either need to do something different, or if you're just going to stick with that, you're going to be holding a lot of women back. And with more women being more active and in pregnancy and in postpartum, I don't think we had a choice. And that's where I think more of the research started to come in, because we're all like, okay, don't do ab stuff because it's going to open the gap. And then everybody, the researchers finally agreed. Like, yeah, actually, when you contract the rectus, it opens it slightly. But if you don't get that tensioning of that linea alba, which is that tissue in between, and that's what we'll talk about with your surgery, like, okay, then we have another conversation.
Yeah.
But all of this just started to like snowball. But I feel like you and Bree were such great examples of, okay, we don't know what the heck is going on here, but we're going to just see as far as we can go with this. And what can we learn? And I think that was such and also for you to share all that was very, I don't know if I could have done it. Yeah, you've been very open with your story.
Really bananas. And I always explain it like, And I get like some, you know, it's not for everybody, right?
Right.
But for me, that was the way I was so, Carrie, I was so bitter. I was so bitter because everyone's like, you're going to bounce back because you're a high level CrossFitter, you know, and all this stuff happened. And I'm like, what is that? And I felt out of my control. And I just was so bitter and angry that I realized that to share that. And I began sharing almost from a selfish standpoint because I was just like, I think I need to see if I can help people because that's like, that's going to help me. Right. Yeah. And then it turned into, I mean, it literally healed my bitter soul because then I started my business. Then I started helping women. Then I start, you know, people that feel like they're alone or there's so many pictures of their belly. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. Like you're not. And da, 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 da. And like, it truly healed me. And I felt like it opened up like this place for me to be who I needed, just like Brie always says with her stuff, but like and that really, really helped. Yeah.
Well, and that's a teacher in you too. You're like, hey, I want to help people. Yeah. It always
teaching. Yeah. Yep. The whole thing. Yeah.
It always comes through. Okay. So you get to this point, you kind of have the sense that, hey, I think I want to get this, you know, surgically repaired. It is almost like to DIY understanding tummy tuck versus diastasis repair, all of that. It's kind of a dumpster fire if you're trying to DIY it. So can you give us like the really elementary version of the difference between the two and how to like unpack that?
Yeah. So the difference between surgery and not like, or.
So first of all, like kind of indications, like when should you kind of think about it? But then the second part is, what is the difference between just somebody who's getting a tummy tuck versus somebody who's getting a tummy tuck and a diastasis repair, other than the fact that the insurance might pay for one, but not the other?
Oh my God.
Might be a whole nother podcast on the insurance side of things.
I'll unpack here. It is a really messy, like Wild West type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought, oh, postpartum is this black hole. And obviously it's gotten better, right? A lot better. But this is, it's just 80 times worse because people don't want to talk about tummy tucks and plastic surgery. Right.
Right.
So there's that to begin with, but, there it is. So I think the first issue with this whole thing, first we'll start with, okay, you can get a tummy tuck with the muscle repair or an abdominoplasty, which is when you're actually repairing the rectus muscles, like you're bringing them together. Right. Okay. Tummy tuck alone sometimes can just refer to just the skin, right? You're just getting the skin tucked up, which sometimes I do think women that don't have a very large diastasis get wrapped into getting the muscle repair with the skin tucked up when really they should just do the skin and not touch anything inside. Because anytime you see a plastic surgeon, be like, yeah, we'll bring the muscles together. It'll look better. It'll be better. It'll fix it up. I mean, that's their job, right? I'm not throwing them under the bus. I mean, this is what they do. This is what they want to do. This is what they're trained to do. They're trying to make you look better, which I'll talk about in a second. And so I'm not throwing them under the bus at all. That's their job. But I wish there was like a stopping point before that for them to get educated all about the surgery, all about their diastasis, all about everything. And that's where I think the PTs can really come in.
Yep.
But they kind of need to learn about it too. So they can just guide them, like be that buffer. Because if they go in for consults, I'm all about getting a bajillion consults, but you have to know what you're going to be getting into when you get in there. And it's really intense. And if you're not prepared for it, it can really mess with your mind. So it's that preparation, understanding what they're going to sell you, what's going on with your muscles, what they're actually going to do, the whole thing. Right.
Well, and my understanding too is, and you probably know far better than I do, that there's different approaches.
There is.
In that, like, okay, are they just going to do anterior? Are they going to come on the backside of the rectus? Like all of that stuff too. Yes. Like, I almost feel like you need to have like dummies guide to these surgeries before you go in and even have a consult, because you don't know what you don't know. And they might be giving you something that's not what you had in mind.
Yes. You don't know what you don't know. That's why we put a ton of questions, free PDFs on our tummy tuck website, because I mean, maybe you don't want to bring them all in, but like literally you don't know what you don't know. You need, right. So people just looking at the questions are like, oh, I guess I should ask about that. And sometimes there's no one right answer because everybody does a little different, but you need to ask those questions, write it down, go to someone else, ask the questions, see what they say. And then you have to kind of navigate and figure out who you actually trust, which to me was a nightmare. Because I trust nobody after all of my crazy journey stuff.
Like, you're all out.
I didn't do it. And, you know, I didn't have any, we didn't, I'm like, I'm trying to learn about the surgery, you know, and it's all very overwhelming. But I think exactly what you said, you got to bring in all those questions and you got to get them answered. And if you feel rushed or you feel like you can't get those questions answered, go to someone else, right? Gotcha. Because they... You know, some people use mesh, some people use permanent sutures, some people use dissolvable sutures, some people use a combination of both. Some people say you can't do core work for 6 months after the surgery. Some people say after 6 weeks. Like, it is all over the map. And it just takes some time to really navigate and digest all the information that you're going to get from these consults. Because it's just almost like a fire hose to the face because you're not going in with any sense of much to begin with. Most people aren't, right?
Right.
So it's just a lot. You know, Munira is really good about like looking through the research and seeing what there is. I mean, there's some things, there's not a ton.
Yeah.
My surgery was done by the chief of plastic surgery at the University of Michigan. Go Blue, national champions.
Congrats.
It's been a big week. But anyway, and, you know, I told him about our program and he's has such good bedside manner for being such a very good surgeon. I just love this man. But he was like, yeah, send me over when you do your stuff because there's not much out there and, right. You know, whatever. And he's Mr. Research and flying around right. And doing all this stuff. So, about recovery anyway. Right.
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing is you have to know that you're going in not knowing much. And I think some people just kind of go in, they like their surgeon, they get the surgery and you know what, that can be fine. I'm not saying that's not the way to do it, but most women I talk to, they won't know exactly how the surgery was done. And again, that can be fine.
Right.
That can be fine. But if you have certain athletic goals or certain
right
it can be because sometimes people are like, oh my god, he said I can't do this now for 6 months, or he said I can never do a sit-up or a plank again. Some surgeons will say that.
So what do you do in that scenario? Because again, there's not a lot of overlap ever, and this might be the only spot, between rehab and plastics. They don't inherently go with each other. And anybody that's not going to do pre-op or post-op rehab when there's a muscle surgery involved and a major abdominal surgery, I mean, like that incision's not short. Yeah. It's like bone to bone. Like it's the entire freaking abdomen. Sometimes move your belly button, kind of like, it's not small. And I think when these moms go in and they have these little kids at home and they have these promises told that, oh, you'll be back to doing whatever in 6 weeks, or, but you won't need to, you won't ever do this or that or whatever. Like, I call bullshit. And it's hard because you have a patient that might be on board with you.
Yeah.
And a physician that won't write an order for PT because you're in a stupid state, or you're in, have an insurance company that requires a PT order and you can't do direct access, even though it's legal. What do you do?
Yeah.
In those scenarios, how do you approach the client? And then, you know, is it worth approaching the physician to be like, dude, like, I can make your outcomes better?
Right. Yeah. And this is where I started realizing once I went through it myself. So Nancy kind of took me and was my, you know, she helped me, right? And she had never done someone right out of the gate with a tummy tuck.
Right.
She's people down the road who maybe had issues.
Yep.
Had incontinence or had other stuff going on after they had, you know, down the road after they've had this tummy tuck maybe, right? But like, so it was cool for both of us and we, you know, to kind of like go through. But once I like got my own self together, because I was so concerned about my own recovery and getting back to the, I wanted to do a CrossFit. I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Then I started to realize, wait a second. So I had all this help, Nancy with me every step of the way. And I have all this knowledge of helping all these diastasis clients and all these different things. And it was a terrifying recovery. It's very scary. They act, you know, a lot of times they act like, oh, 6-8 weeks, you're fine. I mean, some people are. I've had clients who do really well right out of the gate and I have to hold them back a little bit, you know, okay. And you're okay. But a lot of people are struggling way longer than they thought that they would, mm-hmm. which I look at as very normal, but they didn't realize it was going to be that hard, like you said, yeah. right? So that's when I realized, wait, this is like, there's no rehab, recovery, re-strengthening plan for the surgery. This is straight bananas. Because my rectus muscles are in a new spot. I have a huge scar. And your core is the center of your whole body.
If it was a dude, there would have been. I'm just putting that one out. It's the same story with C-sections. Like, if men went through this, I love you, honey. Sorry. That we'd have a solution a long time ago.
I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
It is crazy. Now, my surgeon was very athletic himself, and he gave me pretty good advice about getting back to CrossFit. Like, he talked my language, right? But I needed more than just his stuff at checkups, right? Like, I needed Nancy. She was there. So, but that's when I realized, oh my gosh, like I can work one-to-one with clients, which I enjoy doing, but we need to have something out there, people. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, this is so needed.
Well, and I think for everybody, and that's why I'm glad you guys have done this, both for moms trying to navigate this, because, you know, thank God for the internet in that respect, but then also professionals. Like I've worked with some. The patients have come to me of their own desire to do this, sometimes against the advice of their plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you go based on what you know. We're like, okay, we understand basic soft tissue healing principles and the timeline on that. We understand scarring. We understand functional mobility and we understand retraining. But I will tell you, like, putting some of these women under real-time ultrasound and watching tissues that do not glide and slide after you've got a hip-to-hip, you know, incision, like, tell me how that's not going to be a problem later on in life.
I know.
Tell me.
Well, and, you know, a lot of women go into the surgery thinking it's going to clear, like, help their pelvic organ prolapse, help their incontinence, help their back pain, all this stuff. Now, I will tell you, Mina and I talk about this a lot and talk to women a lot. Like, some people, they go in, they get the surgery, and it helps those things. Some people, there's no change. Right. Some people, things get worse.
Yep.
So you can't go into it trying to solve something else. Even back pain. I know back pain seems like it's could be very connected, right? And it could be, right? But I mean, we know now.
Yeah.
So much more to that, right? So it is a very dangerous game going into this surgery, trying to fix a lot of other things, right? So that's why it's like, I really want people to get as strong as they can, do rehab, then do strengthening, do this, and really work on symptom management, right? Before surgery. And you need to go into the surgery knowing a few things. It's not going to solve all your problems. In fact, it's going to cause new problems during recovery for the most part. I'm not saying you can't get rid of those, but there's going to be, like you said, you've got a scar you have to deal with. You've got sensations. You've got nerve pains. There's lots going on. You've got to kind of reconnect. Your body doesn't feel like yourself. There is a lot. Psychologically, looking at yourself.
Yeah.
It's a whole nother bag of worms, which we don't need to get into right now, but just so people know, I mean, you're going into this thinking you're going to look like perfect. You will not look perfect. And there will be things you still don't like. And then you have to navigate that because you spent money and you're in pain and it's recovery. And oh God, do I like this? And oh geez. And the whole thing, people think they're going to be flat like a Barbie doll, but you're still human and you're going to bloat and you're going to eat food. stomach's going to change. So you've got all that going on, plus all the physical recovery, and your problems are not solved. Now, I'm not down. I'm not scaring people or saying that this surgery is bad. I'm very glad that I got it. But people need to just understand what it's really about.
Yeah.
And then you can make the right decision. And you can go into it really understanding that and knowing that you will need to do some rehab.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, taking it on as major abdominal surgery, and if you've never had surgery, never had a C-section, like, I mean, you can speak to this, the swelling, you had a drain in, I think, for a bit. The bruising involved, like it's not a delicate surgery. You're not walking out like you walked in. And kind of how long were you kind of feeling that acute phase? Like you're in a binder at that point too. Like how long did that kind of acute phase go on?
Yeah. And everybody's very different. You know, some use binders, some don't anymore. I mean, again, mm-hmm. it's over the map with these surgeons and different stuff. And again, I'm not telling you anybody what's right and wrong. You got to really do your research at this point. And whatever your goals are aesthetically and athletically. Really being clear with the surgeons about that too. And what's most important to you and that kind of stuff. But yes, so I had the drains in for about 8 days. Once they came out, I wish I would have realized how much better I would feel once the drains were out.
Oh yeah.
You know, it was one of those things. I just kind of wish I knew. I think I would have mentally been a little better. But you know, I had to wear the I had one of the ones with the crotch strap that comes up and then like a heavy compression instead of the binder, which was good. I mean, they explained it to me that way, like the binder can push the fluid down. They want to like not, you know, have it all. So I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I had to wear that thing for like 6 weeks, 24/7 besides shower, you know, oh gosh. And even after that, I had to put it on sometimes. It was very, I had to wean off of wearing, and then I wore light compression mentally. And then with the sensations and the nerve, it was a long, long time for me before I was just not doing anything.
Right. And at what point were you starting to like integrate even just coordination exercises and things like that?
Yeah. So I had I purposely waited till almost 8 weeks. I mean, they're like, oh, around 6 weeks, you could start something. I'm like, I'm not sure. That was me. Right. So I went in for my clearance check at like 7.5 weeks. I purposely waited a little longer. That's just what I needed. And the next day I had an appointment with Nancy and, you know, I'm like, okay, like I'm going to do my first workout, you know, and it was like lunges and chair dips and, you know, just different. We were kind of like going over, you know, what to do, just start to get moving. And she did some, you know, work, helped me with my scar, you know, did some work there, everything like that. And so that's why my first workout was about at 7.5 weeks, just highly modified, but
yeah.
And then I remember maybe a couple weeks later, Nancy started having me do ab holds where I, you know, like a modified hollow hold. I was terrified. Like I was just thinking back to it.
What did you think was going to happen? Just out of curiosity.
You know, this is the thing with the surgery and a lot of the people I work with is you are terrified that the stitches are all going to burst open and everything. You know, at that point, doing what I was doing was very safe.
Right.
But psychologically, it's really hard. And not everybody has that, but it's definitely a component. Now, in the very beginning stages, can you overdo it and can things happen? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, my surgeon was very strict with me, like, don't do anything, because he knew I was an athlete. So I think he was a little more.
I'm going to back you off a little bit.
Little does he know that I take orders. Like, you don't have to worry, but like, you know, I think he was extra firm because of it. And a couple surgeon interviews I did too, they talked about one woman who did her incision, not the inside rectus, but her incision actually opened up because she was at home and other people were caring for her kids, but she was in the house with her kids and the kid was about to fall and she jumped up to get, because
just grab them.
It doesn't turn off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are things you do need to be very careful in the early stages.
Right.
But after that, I really needed a lot of like hand holding and support to progress. Right.
Is the fear still there?
You know, I still will not wear a weight belt. I, at this point, like, could I lift a little heavier if I put one on once I got, you know, towards my max? Maybe.
Yeah.
Right. But the thought of pushing into the weight belt after I've had the surgery, I just don't want to do it. And I don't need to. I'm not doing a powerlifting competition. I'm not doing it. I just want to lift heavier and get heavier for me to be strong. I do that without a belt. I'm strong. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. But for me, that's a hang up. Not everybody has that. Like, I know people that have had the surgery that wear a weight belt.
Yeah. Not to psychoanalyze or anything like that. Like, does that go back to how you think you got here?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, you know, cause I'll hold my breath and I'll do all that stuff. And I feel fine doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel confident with that now.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the things that, like, obviously, you know, cause breath is, you know, the new black and that sort of thing. And there's this argument about the right way to breathe. And I mean, you've been lifting long enough to know that if you are going to lift heavy shit, you're going to have to hold your breath. And if you're going to lift heavier shit and not hurt your back, there's belts in your future, that sort of thing. But like, for people who do not lift and do not understand that, I think that can be a point of contention, which it really shouldn't be.
Right.
But yeah, and that's where I think kind of understanding this stuff is so important, because if you don't do the activities that your client does, you need to understand the why and the how. And you're like, it's not that I can't.
Yeah.
It's just that I choose not to, and that's not where my goals are. And yeah, I mean, what's your one rep max deadlift right now anyway, by the way?
So I'm just under, let's see, I think it was like 285 or something like
285 that. Unbelted, by the way. So you're just like a mini Tia.
Well, it's funny you ask about deadlift, because deadlift used to be my strongest lift, and my other lift caught up, and I didn't even necessarily have that goal.
Isn't that funny?
Fast, right?
Surpassed.
Yeah. But my deadlift, I used to be over 300, which I'm, again, no belt. I'm okay with that. And I know when to stop before it's too much.
Right. Or
when it's, you know what I'm saying? And I'm fine with that. And I'm still building. Maybe I'll get back.
Yeah.
I won't. My other lifts have gotten so strong. Being not conservative, but I mean, not always having lofty goals, just
Right. 1 pound.
If anybody follows me, I love my 1 pound weights. Like, you know, just.
I like the quarter, like, you know, the little teeny tiny one.
You know, because listen, I'm not getting any younger. I had this past like year or two, Carrie, I've had just a lot of successes in training, strength wise, working on skills, just different things. And I know at some point that will slow down. It'll be more of a maintaining. Like, I'm very realistic, right? And that's fine, but that's why I like those little weights. Cause you know, it's
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something. And I think that's such a good, you know, it's for somebody to kind of like step back and look at all of this as a whole, like, you were still training and lifting quite heavy, comparatively speaking, to those of us mere mortals, prior to your surgery with this large diastasis. Now, post-surgically, and are you in your 40s yet?
Yeah, 40.
You are, right? Yeah, okay. I didn't want to add when I didn't need to. like, I think there's this fear too that if you have surgery, or if as you get older, you're just not going to be able to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that with the right support and intentionality and that sort of thing, like, we don't know the limits. The limits do not exist. I'm sure they do. But like, I see all these people like, oh, this is a new 40. I'm like, I think the 40s are far better than the advertisement, you know, says. Like, I feel like I've been able to do more here, partially because I can get a good night's sleep. My kids wipe their own butts and feed themselves.
Yes.
But I think it's such a testament to the intentional work that you've done to be like, no, I rehab this right. And I have my limits. I'm not being stupid. But I'm still making gains. And I think that's such an important thing, that when you're making such a commitment financially, resource-wise, all of that time-wise, to have a major surgery, you want to have the follow-up.
You know, sure. I'm probably going to cry now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean,
I cry all the time. It's good. But I, you know, I was so terrified coming back from this surgery because I remember telling him, I was like, it doesn't have to look perfect. You know, right. It's going to look better than what I have now, which that was a goal of mine. I'm not going to pretend aesthetics wasn't part of it. 100%
Yeah.
I said, but I do whatever you need to do. Like I want to do, and he knew what I wanted to do. I was like, if it's not perfectly flat or, you know, I don't want to be too tight or just whatever you need. He's like, don't worry. Yeah. Okay. You know, like he knew, I was like, if you open me up and I'm out and you got to make a decision, make the decision for functionality. Like,
right.
I understood that, but I never in my life, like, you know, going through all ups and downs and all that stuff. I never thought I'd feel this good. Like I have gotten lifetime PRs on my squat clean, my front squat, my back squat, like just, and it wasn't, it just happened, right? Like, it's not like I don't have goals to get heavier, but like,
right.
Just kind of like came out of the blue. Like, wow, this just happened. Right. Just steady training. I train 4 days a week. You know?
I'm cracking up because you're like, this is out of the blue. I'm like, bullshit. You work out. You are so consistent.
Consistently, but compared to all the hours I was training when I was competing, it's like nothing, right?
Well, but your
body at this age, and this is the perfect recipe for what I need. And I can go really hard those days and then the rest. And, but I think also like not having the pressure of like regionals and got to do this and do that. I don't regret those years. Those were amazing.
Yeah.
They changed my life, but I think just, like I have goals and there's no rush for them and I just enjoy the process and that's what happens. Right.
Well, and you're just, let's give us a little bit of credit here. We're not as stupid as we were in our 20s where we can just, you know, throw it down every freaking day and think nothing's going to happen to us. Like we fuel now, we rest now, we recover, we make intelligent decisions. We don't push when something doesn't feel right. Like we're not idiots ideally in our 40s.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's that too. Like you couldn't pay me enough to go back to my 20s. I really am not interested.
What's in that athletic maturity that Brianna always talks about, right?
Right. Yes.
It's like, I still have the competitive drive and the ego.
Of course.
I rein it in still, but I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do whatever I need to do and it totally works.
Right. Exactly. But you have that balance of understanding that you are competitive, but you don't have to go balls out every day and then suffer for it and then wonder why you're not recovering and hurt yourself and dumb things like that. So I think that's that athletic maturity. I think that's you're a lovely example. Congratulations. All right. So let's talk about this program. Talk me through like if I'm considering, you know, having surgery. And I'm like, okay, you guys have information regarding the surgery, helping me talk to my physicians, what questions to ask, that sort of thing. What is like the best timing to kind of really dial in and connect with you and Munira?
Yeah. So this is actually a question we get asked a lot because people are all over in their journeys. Like some people feel like, well, should I buy it now? My surgery is in 6 weeks. Yes. Because I will tell you for the Tummy Tech Core Rehab Program, there's a lot of like intro videos. There's a lot of check-in videos because everybody has different guidelines from their surgeon. Program it took a long time because we had to be like, okay, well, if this, then this, kind of have a flow chart and then have these different things. And then sometimes you stay longer in here and there. So it's nice to kind of look everything over before you're in the throes of recovery.
Yep.
Or have something to look at while you're laying there, you know, in the early days. I mean, there are some breathing things and things we can, you know, we talk about doing, but like, just so it's not so overwhelming, all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm ready to get started. And then you sit down and you're like, okay, I gotta like,
right.
You know, do all this. Right. And so it is nice to, but you don't have to. Sometimes people don't buy it until they're cleared. Or until they're a little bit farther out. And then we're like, okay, we'll phase. And we have stuff in there to guide you if that's you. But like, you know, we can say you definitely want you to go through phase one, but maybe you don't need to spend as long there. Right.
Okay.
And then, and the same thing, like even phase two, if someone buys it even farther out, same thing there. I want you to go through it, but maybe you don't have to spend that time there. And then three and four are quite challenging exercises. So you're not going to be able to rush through that. It's a good strength building. So it really doesn't matter if you do it really early on or later. It really will benefit you in either case.
Okay.
But I always try to catch people, I mean, ideally, before the surgery, send them those questions.
Yeah.
So they can ask, and get a couple consults, digest, really think about in your gut which person is feeling like your surgeon.
Yeah. I almost feel like it's like, it's got a parallel with like pregnancy postpartum in some ways, because there are those people that are like the over preparers, over researchers that like need all this stuff ahead of time and need to do all that to make the decision. And then there's the other people like, I'm going to wing this. I got this. And then they get to the other side and have that oh shit moment.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know that you guys, regardless of the entry point, you've got them covered. Yeah. And that also things are going to get intense enough. I think that's, you know, if we go back and look at where standard rehab fails, there's always historically, I think it's getting better now, a massive gap between basic rehab and function and, you know, getting back to something like, you know, CrossFit workouts and things like that. So to be able to have some intensity so that you can feel comfortable and safe going back to your HIIT workout or lifting or things like that, I think that's really important that that extra step is there and you're not going from like basic tiny little things to, okay, you got this. See ya. Like,
that's crazy. It's nice.
Well, you know, that's how we used to roll.
No. Yeah, ease back into things. So that's the next program. This year, we're working on return to fitness. So we've got four programs, you know, set. But then it's like, okay, you want to get back to, you know, strength and conditioning, CrossFit ish type of stuff. But you know, you want to get back to lifting. So this program is going to be for people that were lifting before. This isn't going to teach you how to lift, but it's going to teach you how to get back to lifting. Right. Gotcha. And then strength and conditioning, burpees, things that are kind of the quarantine. Okay. How do we progress back to that?
Yep.
And so we're going to have an actual program people can follow if they want to follow the actual like program, like this is your warm up, this is your strength, this is your workout type of thing. Yep. And then I'm also going to have people that want to get back to the gym, right? I'm going to have a kind of a different track and people can choose what they want, but just how to progress, right? Like you want to go back and take class. Cause that was me. I worked at home for a little bit, but then I wanted to go to class and just walk, but I wanted to be there, right? That's my people. It's my space. So we'll have kind of, okay, here's your burpee progression. Here's your front squat. This is how I want you to do this because it is, and again, everybody is very different in what they need, but whether you feel really good or you feel like crap, you still don't want to rush it.
Right.
Cause I've worked with some people that felt good, which I was so happy that they felt good, but then they hurt their back cause they started front squatting really heavy. And just didn't take the time. I literally worked with her for a month, got her on track and she was good to go. I mean, this doesn't need to be some long drawn out, like, you know, months of stuff. No. Right. Yeah. So, you know, you kind of have, but that way they'll have everything they can choose from in that program and use what they need, but they've got the guidance.
Yeah.
So that and, way, you know, however they're feeling, they can use it to their advantage. Yeah.
And, you know, pros can purchase this and follow along and learn with it too. I feel like a lot of the stuff that I have learned over the years, you know, we kind of learn through ourselves and obviously we don't want to project ourselves on other people, but like, again, this is like, you guys have taken a lot of time and effort. I know how detail oriented Muneer is. I know how, you know, solid you are with your modifications and your exercise programming and things like that. Like it's, this is like solid, no joke. And there's nothing else out there like this. Like we don't teach this in PT school. There's no other program where you're going to find this specificity. Yeah. And so I think regardless if you're going through this yourself or you are a professional and you're like, hey, I'm starting to see these come up. I'm getting these referrals. You want to take advantage of this because you're not going to find anything else because this is still so new, which again is the fun part of what we do is that, like you said earlier, you become the person that you wish you'd had.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So when is this next piece? How's that rolling out for you guys?
Yeah. So we're working on it right now. You know, we plan to work all year on it. So hopefully soon, hopefully within the year. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And if you're ready for it, but, it's not out, you can always, you know, poke Lisa and be like, can you work with me? Because she does great programming too. You did some programming for me during a lockdown. What? I was like, I need something. I'm like, I need to be told what to do. Can you please help me?
We all just needed someone to take care of us when we were working out at home during that time. But yes, yeah. I love working one-to-one with, and you know what, what is really enjoyable for me, I think, working with the tummy tuck clients is that I can understand. Now, everybody has different, there's my cat. Everyone's going through it differently. But yeah. I also enjoy that because I want to hear everybody's story and how it's happening for them, because it helps me, right? It helps me in helping more people, right?
Yep.
But it's just very rewarding. And, you know, sometimes all people need is a consult.
Yep.
And I have stuff to work on. I never see them again. Sometimes people want to meet once a week. Sometimes you want programming. Sometimes, you know, it's all over the map. But I think it's so rewarding is because they don't have a lot of people to help them, right? So it's just a good feeling.
Well, and I think, I have learned, I feel like I'm better at what I do because I have gone through what I have gone through and, you know, the people that I work with. Not that everybody who, you know, works with tummy tuck clients needs to have a tummy tuck themselves, but there's a special understanding that you have that I think comes from such a deep place that, you know, you understand it, you've been through it, you've navigated where they are and will be from a mental health perspective, from a physiological and just like body image, all that kind of stuff. Like you see the nuances that some people might not see, which I think is so important when you're kind of treating that whole person and trying to help that whole person through a very significant process. It's more than just major abdominal surgery. There's a lot of like things that and questions and, you know, why me and kind of all that stuff that I'm sure that you went through that.
Yeah.
And still probably still navigating now, like, okay, how far can I push this thing? Like,
I mean, two things to what you said. One, I have someone that's kind of beta testing the actual program. I meet with her and it's been really fun and she's really great, but she was just saying how much she needed, like she didn't want me to how much she needed the mental support. And she's doing well, actually. I think she's doing better than I was at that point, but she's just like, it's just a mental mind F. I mean, it just really is. And so having that can help. And the second point, you know, women always ask, do you regret it? I do not regret it. For me, it was definitely the right decision.
Yeah.
But you know, my stomach's still numb. It feels weird. I mean, that's never going to go away in some spots. I mean, it's never over, right? It's not, that's the thing. Like, so you just have to know all that. Like you're trading this for something else and you just have to figure out what is the trade the right thing for you or not, right?
Right.
And it's always very risky. And this is the last thing I want to say, because I think this is the thing I cannot say enough. Munir and I have like committed to just trying to say this all the time. Mm-hmm. That if you have, you know, mine was a pretty clear case. Okay, gonna get a tummy tuck. There wasn't much decision, right?
Right.
I did have a moment after doing female athlete with Anthony when I was like doing muscle ups and felt really strong, thinking, wait, do I really need this surgery? Like, because I was so scared of it, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I was just afraid, but I'm like, no, my tissues are thin. I don't want to grow old like this. I don't want to look like this. Fair enough. I want to wear my clothes again, like all that, right? Yeah. And I do feel stronger in lifts. So my front squat, like front loaded lifts where I'm not actively crunching, I feel stronger since surgery.
Nice.
So, you know, but back to my point, if you have kind of a flat stomach already, but it's not as flat as you were before kids and you're like debating it, I just want everybody to know you may have a stomach that is less flat after surgery.
That's a good point.
Very risky. Now, if you're getting it for other reasons, if you also have a hernia and there's other things you just want to fix and you want to do the whole thing, that's great. I just need people to know that, like, depending on how you heal, you're going to go to the best surgeon in the country, but they only have control over so much. They can't control how your body's going to respond to this surgery.
Right.
You have muscles and organs and tissues and all this stuff. It's not a nose job.
Right.
Right. Where it's just like, they shape it. And for the most part, it's going to look like that. It's not a nose job. So you don't really know. And so if you go in, I've seen many clients have come to me. They're like, I look worse after surgery.
Oh,
and I don't say that to scare people. Again, I'm here to support you in your surgery, right?
Yeah.
It is the most important thing I think we can tell clients that are on the verge or on the fence. You know, yeah. I know it's easy for us to say, well, we think you look great, but I know to them, maybe their stomach isn't as flat as it was pre-kids, right?
Yeah.
But it's risky if you don't have a medium to an extreme case.
Right.
Going in for that. And so that's, I think, my big
at least process that. At least process that piece.
I'm not saying maybe it's still the right decision for you for many other reasons.
But don't leave it unprocessed. Yeah.
Right. 100%.
I think that's super smart. All right. End of every episode. I don't think we did this with you, but we ask a bunch of questions. So we'll get your first time here.
Right.
Book you're reading or podcast you're listening to right now.
Okay. I just listened. Oh, I got to find the podcast. My friend at the gym sent it to me. It's the On Purpose with Jay Shetty. Adam Grant on why discomfort is the key to growth and strategies for unlocking your hidden potential. So good.
So huge Adam Grant fan. Currently listening to his book right now, Hidden Potential.
Oh, okay.
And so I love this podcast. Audiobook is great because if you like him on podcasts, you like his voice and his intonation and how he speaks, he reads the book in the audiobook. My favorite is when the author reads the book because I feel like you'll get where they're going as opposed to somebody, unless of course it's a Britney Spears book and it's what's her face that was reading about, you know, anyway, I digress. Huge Adam Grant fan.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Enjoyed it.
Awesome. Okay. Favorite activity since becoming a mom?
I mean, can I say CrossFit? Actually, no, I won't say CrossFit because I've been CrossFitting forever. You know what is watching my kids play sports.
I knew you were going to say that.
I knew it. Didn't play sports as a kid. I was a dancer, a performer. I loved it. That was my thing. I will probably cry again thinking about how much I love watching my kids play sports. Aww. I mean, I have become, now I like watching baseball games.
Well, because you have the tent and everything, right? Like you have the whole sideline getup.
I do have a tent. And I've now enjoyed watching like professional baseball games because since watching the kids play baseball, now I'm like into it. That would be, I'm like.
So I don't know if you're at this phase yet. This seemed to come a little later when you didn't have to force kids to go to activities. I am enjoying the conversations in the car on the way to the activity. Because that's one of the few places where my son and I will like sit down and be able to like have conversations. I don't know if it's because we're both staring straight ahead or not, but us in a car, cause he's also big enough to be in the front seat now.
Yep.
I saw congratulations. You moved from like regular car seat to the booster. Congrats. That's a big deal, but no, the car conversations with boys, like my daughter will just talk endlessly, but with boys,
I know
that to me is like,
it's pretty
special time that he will just like, it's just like he opens his mouth and everything comes out. So I hope that happens for you too.
Yeah.
One piece of advice for new moms.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to say my typical phrase, slow is fast. Literally every time I've stepped back and just slowed down, been intentional, amazing things have happened. Like I never thought I'd be feeling this good at 42 at the gym doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of downtimes over the two kids and C-sections, tummy tuck rehab, you know, all that stuff. It doesn't mean it's always fun. It doesn't mean you always enjoy it. Like you want what's coming, but I think knowing that that's going to reap rewards and knowing that it will feel that much better the longer it takes, once you do whatever thing you want to do physically, again, it'll feel better than it ever has. And you will have more gratitude than you've ever had. I think I'm more grateful for every single time I walk into the gym than ever in my life.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this a long time, almost 20 years of CrossFit. And it's just, it's all because of becoming a mom. I mean,
yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, I'm going to give you a little foreshadowing because, as you know, I've been kind of I skipped ahead and jumped into the perimenopause, menopause dumpster fire.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, oh my God, this is going to be a shit show. And yeah, a lot of the things that were like, oh, you should be doing this and this and this and this and this. And a lot of the recommendations are you should be doing HIIT and you should be doing some impact stuff and lifting heavy and da da da. I was like, wait, we're already doing that.
Right.
So what I'm finding, and I think those sorts of recommendations are going to be great for those sedentary women that like, there's some insane amount of people in the United States that are sedentary, you know, as they reach that menopausal age.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that all this work that we've been doing in pregnant and postpartum space, that the shift, the fundamental shift that has occurred, I think we're going to be so much further ahead than this current cycle of people going through, because we've already made those shifts and changes. We're not, you know, running up to menopause and being like, all right, I got to learn how to lift a barbell.
Right.
Like, girl, you got that.
Right.
Hit, got it.
Right.
Impact, got it.
Right. It is a good feeling because then there's enough other stuff you have to tackle along with that. So at least
but again, I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think We've already dealt with sleep. We've already dealt with nutrition. Now we've got this whole thing about, you know, the hormone chit show that was, you know, 2000, and the whole thing has been debunked. Everybody's kind of jumping on the, like, let's understand estrogen and let's actually understand impacts on all parts of the body. Like, I think by the time you get here, like, I think we'll have it all ironed out. So just think of it less work for you to do when you get here, because you've already got it.
Right.
So well done. Wait to study ahead.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful because, you know,
you've been doing the work all this whole time. About time it finally pay off, right? Okay. All right. Who is somebody in our space that we should know about? And I'm going to push you here to find a not obvious person. Like, you can't say Manera. We've already had Manera on. Because this is selfish to me, because like if you're somebody I don't know, then I go find them for the podcast.
Yeah.
So who's somebody that we need to be paying attention to in this space?
Pregnancy and postpartum. I'm gonna have to think about this.
Okay.
I bet there's. I'm sure there's someone that maybe I've like followed or, you know.
Okay. Well, if so, who's somebody like off the top of your head? That even if it's somebody that I know. We know a lot of the same people.
Well. Okay. Well, you know who I've really enjoyed. I mean, you're going to know who it is, but
yeah.
I love that, you know, Kate Johnson.
Yes.
So she was an OG coach with me.
Yes.
And then
she's
now
been on the show.
Street parking, which I love street parking. So Julian and I actually were on the CrossFit Regionals team together back
then. I didn't know that.
I know him. And I just love what they do. I just love everything that they do over there. I just think it's so great. Yep. I love the messaging. And I just think Kate's going to do big things. And so I know you know her, but like that's the person that came to mind. And I just think it's so cool that
I love that
network over there. And she's just so great.
I was so happy to see her kind of take that position with street parking, because I do think she's phenomenal and she's just so progressive. And I think navigating her own issues. Yeah. She's been a guest here on the podcast. So yes, we love Kate here too. Absolutely. All right. Last one. What does it mean to you to be an active mom in postpartum?
Ooh. You know, for me, I feel like it feeds my soul. Right. Now, I know it's hard, like early postpartum, when you're not doing the activities that you want to be doing. Right. And you kind of feel like you have this identity crisis and you need to find out who you are without that too, because you need, sometimes you can't have it if you're injured or cut. Right. So I think those times can be very good times, because again, you're more grateful for what comes later as long as you embrace that part of the journey. Yeah. But I am the CrossFittiest CrossFitter. I will be doing CrossFit. You know, I will be modifying when I'm 80 years old, whatever I can do, 90, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
And so, I mean, I'm just the CrossFitter for life. So.
I love that. Yeah. If you ever want to be inspired, just, and I'll pop your Instagram up here too. Like, you do your 5 minutes of fun where you do like some extra thing after, where you've done like 70 muscle ups or something like that. I'm like, or you're deadlifting, you know, 300 pounds or whatever. I'm like, I would love to do that on my best day. And you're like, oh, I wasn't feeling that great.
Messages. But yeah, my 5 minutes of fun, the whole thing, the whole way that got started was I was trying to get my muscle up back. Before I was going to female athlete, because that was Anthony said, get this back before you come here. You can do it. I'd progress some core stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was ready, but I didn't have a lot of time to spend. I don't have hours training, all this stuff. Right. So I was like, you know, spend 5 minutes after class doing some progressions.
Yep.
A couple weeks later, it was right there. Cause I didn't know, right. So anytime I have like a goal, I'll do 5 minutes of some progression, mm-hmm. 5 to 10 minutes. And you know what? I do that a few times a week. And before you know it, it helps. So yeah. I think it's very hard for us sometimes that coming out of maybe people that were training a lot before, right, to get into that mindset shift, or busy people that don't have as much time, or even if you're just trying to get, you're starting something new,
right,
as a postpartum mom, you're trying to get, you know, start living, do this, an extra 5 or 10 minutes all adds up, even though at the time it feels like you're not doing much. And so that's where that has come from. And I've tried to like stick with that, where the days I don't have to run out and have an appointment right after, I will try to get some in.
So. But you know what that is? That's Zen Master Mom 101. Like that's cool. Like you've achieved, like, because you hear it, you're like, I don't know how I could possibly make this happen.
Yes. Yes.
And then you do it, and then you're like, oh shit. Like I just did that. So like, if you want to witness Zen Master Mom 101, 5 minutes of fun.
That's right.
You can check out Lisa on Instagram, lisa.marie.ryan. And then also, if you want to learn more about Tummy Tuck Rehab, whether you are a pro or a mom that's kind of interested in that, you can check them out at Tummy Tuck Rehab. I could talk to you all day because I love you. and by the way, we've still never met in person, which we need to rectify.
Nara and I have never met in person. We are business partners.
Oh, that's really funny. Oh my gosh. Well, all my best friends are online. So
crazy, you know,
funny, not, you know, true. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom, sharing your story, always being vulnerable with your experiences. Lisa Marie Ryan, thanks for being on the show.
And Sherry.
Did you enjoy the podcast? If so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell a friend to do the same. Are you a postpartum mom or postpartum pro wanting to know more about getting back to running after baby? Check out all my free goodies on carriepagliano.com. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Carrie Pagliano and her guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.